want the glory of the Lord to be in this place. And I believe it's already evident and it's already here. Can we just continue to let the glory of the Lord fill this house, to fill our hearts and our minds? God is pouring himself into this place. He is pouring himself into our hearts today in Jesus' name, into our minds, that we are transformed. There is no possible way that we could walk out of here the same way that we came in. I am so thankful to be here this morning. I don't know you as well. Let's worship the Lord together.
Death could Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, do you love the name? I love your name, Jesus. Oh, we worship your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated if you can.
I delight myself in presence. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms. Unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed.
Desire from the Lord. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit is very accessible right now. If you have never been filled with this Spirit and you open yourself up to Him in this atmosphere, God will fill you with this Spirit in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. If we could stand at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering?
His glory and His name is exalted above the heavens.
just exalt His name.
Magnify
the Lord of kings. Let us exalt His name.
For
who is like our Lord and King? His glory and His name is exalted above the heavens.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
Forever proclaim.
I will ever proclaim.
He's good. There is no other name,
no other name
like Jesus,
like Jesus, Jesus.
There is no other name,
no other name
like Jesus,
like Jesus, Jesus.
There is victory in the name,
victory in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
There is power in the name,
power in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
Deliverance in the name,
deliverance in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
There is healing in the name,
healing in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus.
He's good. He's good. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
I forever proclaim.
I forever proclaim.
He's good. Should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me. Well, you should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me. Well, I've got the river
of living water.
The river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me. Well, you should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me. Well, I've got the river
of living water.
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 If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. I've got the river
of living water.
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 If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, well, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. Well, I've got
to believe I've been redeemed.
Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. Well, I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
I've got the river
of living water.
He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believed on him should receive. I'm glad I've received. Hallelujah. Huh, why don't you applaud the Lord? Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you let flow from your innermost being some rivers of living water? Hallelujah. I've got the river of living water. My, 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 my. Sometimes I think the enemy is like a bunch of little beavers. Chewing up stuff around you, piling up all these circumstances in your life. I realize it's somewhat juvenile, the parallel, but they try to stop the flow.
Right.
We're not careful. We allow the enemy do all this kind of destruction around about us and pile these circumstances and situations, and it'll just be a little trickle. We'll come to church and we'll get a little refreshed with the trickle, but what about having a breakthrough? Well, we allow the power of the Holy Ghost to bust through those things. Hallelujah. Let the river flow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to remind you, Revival by Design tonight, beginning 6 o'clock. We're talking about methods of evangelism, different ways to evangelize. And so that will be the subject matter of the discipleship teaching tonight during Revival by Design. But we want to make a very special presentation here this morning. Normally this is something that we would do during our promotions Sunday, which, by the way, is coming up at the end of this month. Where students in children's ministry will be graduating from one class to another. But we wanted to do it special this morning because her dad happens to be here this morning. Doesn't often get to come on Sunday mornings, but we're glad that he's able to be here. And so where's little Miss Sadie Marie Wallace? Why don't you join me here on the platform? We have a very special certificate to give to little sister Sadie. Because it says Holy Ghost certificate. This certifies that Sadie Marie Wallace was baptized with the Holy Ghost as defined in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, on the 26th day of June in the year 2017 at the Illinois District Campgrounds.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Oh, let's give her a resounding applause. That's awesome. If you would all stand and I really hope this morning that I will be able to convey what I believe God has been speaking to my heart this past week. I want us all to know that God is for us. God is your biggest fan. There is nobody, nobody, endeavors to see you make heaven your home. Well, if you don't believe that, I hope that you'll stay around for a few moments and that you will become convinced. I'm tired of the enemy keeping us from ministering because we're sitting around with all these uncertainties. biting our nails, wondering, am I going to make it? Maybe, just maybe. From the message this morning. Now, please understand, I am not preaching eternal security. But neither am I preaching eternal insecurity. I'm fed up with the people of God all the time having to be reconvinced. We become so distracted. We don't minister as we should. We all the time feel like we got to come back. I believe in repentance. I believe in dying daily. But you need to understand that when Jesus Christ died for sins, he died for it once. We don't need to come back. I can show you this through the Word of God. When we come back to an altar and we come back before God, we are not dying to sin. We are dying to a sinful nature. We are dying to carnality and our own will and our own way. And the more I read the Word of God, now you're just going to have to, you're going to have to hold on. Because the more I read the Word of God, the more I am becoming convinced that if I've repented of my sins and I've been baptized in His name and I've received His Spirit, hell is going to have a hard time keeping me out of heaven. Romans chapter 8, in reading verse number 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then say to these things? If God, see, some of you are still asking the question, if God. Well, I hope that you will settle it in your spirit tonight, today. He does. He is. Understand, this is not a position of God being out in front of us, not God before us. Because if you read the actual translation, and some of you may have it in your Bibles, that word be is italicized, which means it was added by the translators. Which means it actually reads like this, if God for us, who can be against us? Some of you need to be convinced that God is on your side. He is not sitting up there as some deity deficient and needing you to worship Him and praise Him to fill some kind of ego deficiency that He has. That is not the kind of God that we serve. What shall we say to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? I want to simply preach to you on this subject. God is for us. God is for us. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We love you. God, I thank you for your word. It reminds me, it encourages me, God, of security I have in you, Lord. I love you. I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. Help me to impart unto your people what you have placed in my spirit, God, what has been resonating throughout this week in my heart, God. And I pray that I would do it justice, God, as a simple oracle of your choosing to speak unto your people, that we would all leave here with a greater understanding of how secure we are in you, God. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. There is something about knowing someone has your best interest at heart. We use phrases like, so-and-so has my back. Or this person is on my side, to denote a level of allegiance or to boost our confidence that we have support.
that we have others who are, in essence, looking out for us. And to have support, to have others that are for us, it really does wonders for our self-esteem. It helps us to feel like we matter. Like somebody cares whether or not we make it. Like somebody is there who wants to support us, who doesn't want to tear us down, but rather wants to build us up. To have that kind of support, that it often brings a sense of self-worth. That self-worth is established when individuals feel like other people are for them. I distinctly remember one time in middle school, and how many of you remember middle school? Some of you, it takes a little more than others. But I remember in middle school, I remember the things that I remember Coach Carter. Coach Carter, whose socks were way too high and shorts were not low enough. Coach Carter, who had all the keys like the janitor, but it was because he had all the access to all the physical education equipment and all the sheds and all the different areas. And he would, on occasion, on Fridays, we would look forward to, because sometimes he would get in his megaphone and he would look out at all of us middle schoolers and go, "Dodgeball." We love dodgeball. But the thing about dodgeball was, it was always the big kids, the ones who, you know, who could really whiz the ball. Those guys are the ones that always seemed to end up with the ball. Why that was? Now, I in middle school was not the big hunk of humanity that I am today. I say that with much sarcasm to anyone who may be listening at a later time. I was somewhat of a diminutive fellow and a little bit slight. And I happened on this day to get a dodgeball. And I was on the side where the big kids were. And man, I thought I was about to show my stuff. And all of a sudden, a kid that was much bigger than I decided he wanted the dodgeball that I had. And he said, "Hey, give me the dodgeball." And I said, "No, I got it." And he said, "Give me the dodgeball, I'm going to take it from you." And then I got a little worried. And I figured he's probably going to follow through with his response. But I decided I would see. And I found out he was going to take it. And he did take it. And he took it by force. But when he did that, there was a guy who I had befriended and who had befriended me. And his name was Kevin Carter. No relation to the coach. But Kevin was one of those guys that, you know, the testosterone peaked early. In middle school, he looked like he should be in high school. He already had facial hair, you know, all that other stuff. And he was a big dude. And for some reason, Kevin had a liking to me. And when Kevin saw this other guy come take the dodgeball from me, Kevin decided to step in. And Kevin looked at him and said, "Did you take the dodgeball from him?" I'm like, "Yeah, I did. Took it from me, Kevin." Kevin looked at the dude and said, "Give it back." I was just going to stand there. He said, "Give it back, I'm going to make you give it back." I was like, "Oh my, how the tables have turned." Sure enough, this guy decided he better not mess with Kevin Carter. And so he looked at me somewhat nonchalant. He was like, "Here you go." I was like, "Yes, Kevin Carter is on my side. I can now walk through the halls with a little quicker step and not have to hang my head anymore, because Kevin Carter is for me. He likes me. There's something about us and Kevin Carter." Now, years later, it was kind of funny because I walked into a video store and there's Kevin Carter as a video clerk, and he hasn't changed since middle school. Well, maybe in Austin's term, he's gotten a little rounder. But I thought to myself, that guy was for me, and a big smile came across my face. Like, "Hey, Kevin, man, how you been so long?" And I distinctly remember the time when Kevin Carter stood up for me. And how that made me feel so good that someone like Kevin would have stood up for me. Few things in life are more fulfilling than to have others reveal that they are there for you. When you're going through a rough stop, you're dealing with certain situations, that people step up and say, "Hey, I'm here for you. You're not fighting this on your own. I'm here to let you know I'm supporting you. I'm here so you understand. You're not fighting this by yourself." Often people are able to overcome addictions. They bear incredible burdens and navigate dire circumstances simply because others are there to lend their support and help them through the struggle. Many mentoring programs and support groups and sponsors, they're all structured in such a way to provide strength and encouragement from these external sources that serve to help others find the courage to continue. To continue the fighting, the things that are harmful, the things that are detrimental to them, the forces that would seek their destruction. Properly functioning families will be a strong support for the other members to fall back on when times get tough. That's what families do. They support each other. Might I take it a step further? A properly functioning church family will bear one another's burdens and will not seek in any way, shape, or form to tear down, to bite, or devour one another. They will do everything they can to make sure everything that they are saying and everything that they are doing are in your best interest, to let you know, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm for you. We're in this thing together. We're all fighting the same devils. We're all dealing with the same issues. We're all fighting the same flesh. I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for you, sister. Often I wonder how people make it without a church. How do they make it without a family of believers? While I am so thankful for sponsors and support groups and mentors and families and friends who are there for us, I'm thankful that God has placed those people in my life. I need to be reminded that there is no greater ally for me than God. God is for me. God's got my back. God is on my side. There is no one who wants me to see me succeed more than God wants to see me succeed. There is no one who's got my best interest at heart more than God has my best interest at heart. God is for me. There is no greater ally for good than the one who is good. There is no greater ally in my pursuit of following after righteousness than the one who is all righteousness. There is no one, and I'll say this minute, there is no one who wants you and I to succeed and make heaven our home more than God. See, here's the thing. Here's where we get messed up. There's something we need to understand about God. God does not need us to complete Him. He is fullness all in all. Stay with me for a minute. My serving God is not for Him. My service to God adds nothing to Him. And my not serving God takes nothing from Him. He is all in all. He is all sufficient. There is no deficiency in God. He is not an egomaniac. He does not sit in the heavens as a deficient deity, needing your worship and needing your praise to feel good about Himself. That is not the kind of God that we serve. He doesn't need you and I to worship Him. You and I need to worship Him. Stay with me. When you understand the concept that whether or not I serve God, whether or not I am doing what He would desire me to do, whether or not I am doing His will or I'm not doing His will, it doesn't take anything away from Him, nor does my doing His will add anything to Him. The reason why I serve God is because I am deficient. Because I need Him. And because when I worship Him and I praise Him, it is self-serving. I am actually doing good for me. Maybe it'd take a little longer than I thought to convince some of us. My serving God is the absolute best thing that I can do for me. I'm going to say, my serving God is the absolute best thing that I can do for me. And not only is it the best thing that I can do for me, it's the best thing that I can do for others. It's the best thing I can do to be a better husband. It's the best thing I can do to be a better father. It's the best thing I can do to be a better co-worker. It's the best thing I can do to be a better brother or a better sister. My serving to God doesn't add anything to Him, but it sure adds a lot to me. You want to know God, why God wants us to serve Him? Because He knows that's what's best for us. He knows our service to Him is what makes us better. God is for me, and He's so much for me that He says, here are my principles, and here are my precepts, and here are my commandments, and if you do them, you'll be better. You see, what God, catch this, whatever God subtracts from your life is detrimental to you. And whatever He adds is advantageous to you. Whatever He takes away, it's because it would destroy you. And whatever He adds to you is because it's going to build you up. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father... I hope I'm getting through. I hope some revelation is starting to beam into your heart and into your mind. There is nobody who wants you to succeed more than God. There is nobody more on your side than God. There is nobody who is willing to fight all of hell for you to make heaven your home than God. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. When He does that, it's only for my good. For all things work together for the good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. And so if He takes something away from me, I don't know, my God, did You take that away from me? I'll tell you why He took it from you. Because it was bad for you. Why did You give me this trial? Lord, why did You give me this situation and this circumstance? God, why am I going through all this? Maybe you should look at it a little differently. Maybe God is trying to build you up. Maybe God knows that on the other end of the trial, you're going to be better than when you began. Maybe the reason why God placed you in the circumstances or allowed the situation to come upon you. Hey, hast thou considered my servant Job? What you mean for evil, I already mean for good, because I already see down the road. And the latter end of Job is going to be better than the former end. So go ahead, do what you want, devil. But I know Job. And when he comes forth, he's going to be gold. I'm for Job. Hast thou considered my servant Job? See, here's where we get it messed up, because we often compare our relationship with deity with our human relationships. And our human relationships are faulty. They're faulty in the fact that we often do things that are self-serving. I'll prove it to you. How many of you have ever wearing, and I know this is simple, but wearing a new piece of clothing have commented or complimented somebody else's clothing with the anticipation of them looking at yours and saying, oh, is that new? Now, I know we laugh and we giggle about that. But we do things that are self-serving. Why? Because we are deficient. Because we need from other people. God does not need from us. And so when He's doing stuff for us, He is not self-serving Himself. But we, on the other hand, we do things. We often take from others, trying to fulfill our own deficiency. cut down to you is for a buildup of me. And we bite and devour one another. You know why? Because we're deficient. When we feel the need to, well, I got to bring them down to my level. Does that mean your level's deficient? Does that mean you see your level as subpar? What's the need for that? I know, I'm preaching now. I realize, I get it. The only reason why we would seek to chew other people up or bite and devour their, or find faults with other people is to somehow mask our own. Is to somehow overshadow our own infirmities and our own complexes. The only reason why we would ever look at a brother or sister and say, well, I can't believe they do this and that. And I can't believe they go there and I can't believe that. Listen, why are you worrying yourself with that? Why are you trying to pull the splinter out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? Oh, I'm getting real now. And the reason why we do is because we are not God and we are deficient. And so we seek to try to fill our own inadequacies and our own inferiorities and our own complexes and our own shortages by taking from others. I'll take that from you and I'll take that from you because it makes me feel better about me. That's how it happens. That's the way it works. That's what we do. But think about it from this line. Part of the comfortability and the candidness that comes with closeness. When you have a friend that's really close. You have an intimacy with someone where you can be transparent and you can be comfortable. And you say things like, well, I like being around them because I can just be myself. You know why you think that way? Because you don't see yourself as deficient around them. You feel comfortable. And there's a willingness to be candid and transparent because there's a closeness. Because you have drawn nigh unto them and you know their faults and they know your faults. And so you're not trying to put any airs on and you're not trying to be something, you're not trying to wear any mask in front of that individual. Stay with me. So what we need to understand in that is the reason why we are so comfortable and the reason why we can be so transparent and candid about our lives is because it doesn't stem, our relationship doesn't stem from a diminished view of ourselves. I'm not trying to establish whether or not the other party is for me. That's been established. And I know that person is for me, and they have my best interest at heart, and they really are looking out for me. I can be comfortable, and I can be candid, and I can be transparent. That's why you need those kind of people in your life that you can be close to, that you can confide in, because you know they're for me. They want me to succeed. They are not trying to build themselves up by tearing me down. They are not trying to take from me to add to their own deficiency. They've already, in our closeness, in our companionship, they've already revealed that they got areas in their life they need to work on. Here's the understanding. Many of our struggles and much of our separation from God stems from not understanding who we are in Christ. Not understand how close he wants us to be. Ephesians 2, verse 12 and 13, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's how you were. You were separated. You were alienated. You were afar off. You were not close. You did not have the companion. You were not reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ yet. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here's the travesty of many of our walks and relationships with God. That God beckons us to come boldly into the throne of grace, and we still stand afar off, wondering whether or not he's going to hold out the scepter. We'll say that again. One of the travesties in our walking relationship with God is that he beckons us to come boldly into the throne of grace, not throne of judgment. He beckons us to come boldly into the throne of grace. And even while he beckons, wanting a walk in relationship with us, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God did not stop walking in the cool of the evening. It was they who went and hid themselves. It was the deficiency they saw in themselves as a result of sin. Because before then, they were unclothed and they were not ashamed. But as soon as sin came into the picture, oh goodness, I've got a cover, I'm exposed. I can't be this transparent and I can't be this candid and I can't be this open because I'm shameful. What we need to understand is that God restores that relationship through Jesus Christ. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so he says, hey, come on in to the throne of grace. Make your petition and request known. Oh, come on in. I want to hear you. I want to walk in relationship with you. But we stand afar off. Well, I'm not sure. Are you going to hold out the scepter or are you going to destroy me in a moment? Are you really going to? Is this just a ploy? God is not trying to confuse you. God is not trying to, with some elaborate ploy, to get you where he can destroy you. My God, it's the enemy that seeks to kill and to destroy, not God. He is for us. I'm knowing and I'm understanding more and more God is my biggest fan. Where other people see deficiencies in me and they use it to build themselves up, God sees deficiencies in me and says, hey, I can make you better. I can build you up myself. I'm all in all. Bible tells us that even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Even when I wanted nothing to do with God, he wanted everything to do with me. I'm quickly coming to a close. Listen, nobody else has more of a vested interest in you and I making heaven our home than the one who died for us. He didn't die so you and I could be held at arm's length. He didn't die to kind of repair the relationship. He didn't die just so we'd be on a conversational level. He didn't die just so we talked to him on Sundays and Wednesdays. He didn't die just so we could feel good about ourselves when we come into his house and sing a little praise and feel a little goosebump. He died because he's showing us he's for us. He wants you to make heaven your home. There is no one more for you making heaven your home than God. Hell is not created for you. The Bible specifically says it was created for the devil and his angels. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Sometimes what Scripture says is found in what it didn't say. He did not say, in my Father's house are a few rooms. I hope you make it. I know that's funny. I know you say, wow, that's taking it to the other extreme. But sometimes we live our lives that way. Our walk in relationship is always, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. Oh, I don't know. I got to do this. Oh. What is that? What kind of father would I be? Every time my sons interacted with me, it was like, oh, daddy, oh, is he going to beat me? Oh, is he going to... What kind of father would I be? If my sons only did what I asked them to do out of fear of me. In my father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. I'm for you, being with me forever. I'm for you, making heaven your home. That's why I'm becoming increasingly convinced that if I've repented of my sins and been baptized in His name and filled with His Spirit, heaven is going to have a hard, or hell rather, is going to have a hard time keeping me out of heaven. Because He's for me. He's for me. See, we need to get away from the, well, as long as I have a little shack of glory, well, that's good enough for me. Where's that mindset? Where's that scripture? I understand the premise. I get it. Pastor, I just want to make it. As long as I can slip right in those pearly gates as they're shut, and I'll be all right. What? I have a father who stands at the door and waits for the son to show himself at the end of the road, and you're worried whether or not the gate's going to close on you? He stands there every... Do we understand the love of God? How much He is for us. And He has a vested interest in you making heaven your home. And all of hell could fight against you. But the apostle said, but I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor length nor breadth, nor angel, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love. You can stand. Listen to me. If our salvation is as precarious as some people propose, and as tenuous as some people act, then God must not be as for us as the scripture portrays. Said in the beginning, I'll say it again, I'm not teaching a doctrine of eternal security. There is such thing as a reprobate mind. Right. Hebrews tells us that there are those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and been partakers of the world to come, even of the Holy Ghost, but will turn away. It will be impossible to renew them unto repentance. I get that. I'm not in any way discrediting those scriptures. I'm not in any way discounting the understanding that there is a backslidden state. I'll say that again. There is a backslidden state where someone is in danger of God's judgment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There is. I will preach and I will caution. And I will do my best to encourage people to turn away from a life of sin and pursue righteousness with God. God is rocking my world of late. So many times I come to Him with that, oh, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't do this like I should. Lord, I'm sorry I didn't pray like I should have prayed today. God, I'm not making excuses for not doing the things that we know we should do. What I'm simply saying is that we look down upon ourselves in disgrace, shame, such deficiency we see. That's not how God looks at us. As long as I'm striving, and as long as I'm endeavoring, and as long, this is what I believe, as long as I am still having a God conscience that reminds me that I need to turn away from sin and turn toward God, I'm on the right path. There's someone right there beside me that's saying, come on. Come on, Nate. You can do it, buddy.
finish line is just ahead. Keep walking. It's all right if you got to stop and take a break. It's okay. I'm right here with you. Just commit. And when the break's over, you're taking another step toward the finish line, that you're not throwing in the towel, because I'm for you. I don't care where you are. I don't care the extent of your walking relationship with God thus far. You need to understand that God is just as much for you as He is for me. Some of you need to know that God is for you. Maybe you look around and wonder, maybe I've burnt so many bridges with family. Maybe I've done so much wrong, and I've done so many things that nobody could possibly be for me anymore. Nobody could really have my best interest at heart. Nobody really wants me to make it. I even wonder if I want to make it myself. Let me let you know for sure, God is for you. These altars are open for anyone who would say, I'm still pressing on. I'm still going forward. Thank you, preacher, for reminding me who my biggest fan is. Thank you, preacher, for letting me know. Giving me some more assurance. Stop letting the enemy distract you and cloud your mind. Keep you wondering whether or not God really wants a relationship with you, whether or not you're really going to make heaven your home. Why don't you make your calling and election sure in a faith in Jesus Christ, that I am made nigh by the blood. And so in that understanding, I'm not worried about it. I can run into the throne room of grace and say, Father, I need this. Father, I need you.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful.
He stands with open arms.
All you do, you
and whomsoever will, let him come.
You see,
I died for you.
You know
I have a vested interest in you making heaven your home.
You love,
I gave my life for it.
To you, I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon. Of who you are.
But Pastor, I don't know. I got family members. I got loved ones. I got children. They're not doing anything for God anymore. That may be the case, but you need to understand that doesn't mean He has stopped doing for them. God is fighting for
us.
God is sending angels to minister.
So true.
God is still protecting and watching over. God is for
me. Do you feel me? You see me. You know my every move. You allow me to sing to you. I know that you are for me. I know you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me.
Hey, devil, let me remind you who's on my side.
I know that you.
I know you're trying to distract me. I know you're trying to detour me. I know you're trying to get me to give up. But let me remind you who's on my side. Let me remind you who is for me. And if God is for me, then who can be against me?
You are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come down, remind me of who you are.
Hallelujah.
So patient, so gracious, so merciful and true, so wonderful. In all you do, you fill me, you see me, you know my every move, you love for me to sing to you. I know that you are for me, I know that you are for me.
Keep plugging away. Hey, sister,
me.
Keep at it.
I know that you will never.
I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to build you up. I'm for you. God's for you.
I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart. Upon my heart to remind me of who you are.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for the assurance I have in you. Lord, I don't want to look at my deficiency. I want to look at your sufficiency. Help me to see things as you see. Not only do I need to know my brothers, my sisters here in this house are for me. Not only is God for me, Bible tells me we are compassed to ground with so great a cloud of witnesses. All of heaven is for me. If I could somehow peer into the heavens and see all those that are viewing what is taking place down here, they're cheering. Excuse the imagination. Maybe one of my biblical heroes, Moses, has looked down once or twice and said, Nate, keep going.
You are always fighting for
me. I'm for you.
Can't
wait for you to be here where I am. Keep going. Can we start seeing things a little differently? Can we start seeing that maybe the odds are not stacked against us? Maybe the odds be ever in our favor.
At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you will victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple. Let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe.
Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement we feel in spirit. Thank you that you are for me. Thank you. One more time, can we applaud the Lord? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Minor Revival by Design, training beginning 6 o'clock. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Such great messages today about holding people up. We want to say we want to hold our pastor and his wife up.
If right,
we
amen.
Come forward.
Right.
It's going to be their wedding anniversary on Tuesday. So we would definitely want to back them up. They are such awesome, awesome pastor
amen.
And his wife. We are blessed, and we hope that we can bless them. But we want to start singing. Happy anniversary.
A happy anniversary to you, a happy anniversary to you. May you find Jesus here every day of the year. A happy anniversary to you, a happy anniversary to you. May the best that you've ever had.
Woo! Happy anniversary.
Okay, she says I should read the card, so that's the right thing to do. Oh, I wonder how this was made. Oh, my goodness. Oh, just a bunch of happy. Yeah, okay. We will read these. Thank you so much for your warm wishes. And I want to say a special thank you to Sister Angie Duell. She took our kids, and Brother Mike, too, and Mason. They took our kids Friday night so my wife and I could go away for the weekend. So thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. Love you very much.